Hello, and welcome to the Still Unnamed Podcast. I'm Elizabeth Van Ostrand, professional internet hobo.
And I'm Timothy Talene Lawton, still without a title.
I'm Oliver Habricker. I run Lightcon Infrastructure, which runs Let's Wrong, Lighthaven, and a few other things, sometimes, hopefully.
This is your first editor's note. In the interests of fairness and completeness, we showed a complete draft of this episode to every person and organization mentioned. Some of them responded, and I'll be interjecting those responses into the relevant portion of the recording. At the end, I'll also read a long-form response from OpenPhil.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for coming. So the reason I really wanted to have you on is you have, in a couple of different places online, given a model of OpenPhil and Good Ventures and what their decision-making process is that you've been fairly critical of. And your model right now feels kind of spread out and incomplete, and I wanted to get one canon version of at least what you think right now. Timothy here is going to steel man the OpenPhil Good Ventures side. We should note that we didn't ask OpenPhil or anyone there about this. We just decided that that's what he should do. I'm going to be playing more of a moderating role, but I should be upfront that I find Oliver's model pretty credible.
And so I don't know what Ollie's model is. I don't know what my model is.
Great, you're going to be really sincere.
Yeah.
So the specific thing I'm thinking about is how Good Ventures is responding to reputation risk and how OpenPhil is responding to Good Ventures' response.
Like, at a high level, you know, Open Philanthropy has been responsible and in some sense been one of the primary leaders in the whole effective altruism community for a long time. Most recently, there was kind of a big EA forum thread where I had my fun fighting with Dustin Moskovitz about what OpenPhil has been doing and various other things.
And this was the thread where they announced that OpenPhil would be changing its funding but didn't give a lot of specifics?
That's right. Oh, God. It had some terribly, like, confusing title.
This would be an update from Good Ventures.
Great, so informative. So it said, your forum thread with the title, an update from Good Ventures. Basically, OpenPhil just like wrote a quick summary where they were like, hey, Good Ventures is slightly changing what kind of things it wants to fund. This is like not necessarily a big deal. We will still do a lot of the same grant making as we did previously. I think the short summary of that thread is like, it was framed as kind of a like, hey, we're, you know, Good Ventures is going to be a bit more opinionated about what we're doing, but I think de facto it kind of reflected a deep, deep underlying change in how OpenPhil operates. I think the straightforward model would be something like, when we think about the position that OpenPhil has played in the EA community and also kind of how its internal employees have related to it, it was really an organization that for many years, at least internally, was very much like, we are going to figure out how to do the most good and what the most effective like things we can give to by our own models are, which are not perfect. And then we're going to, like, you know, send them over to Good Ventures, and basically Good Ventures will make them for us. Very, very few exceptions. I think basically almost no grant ever got vetoed. I remember talking to, like, Nick Beckstead in 2015, 2016, when OpenPhil had just arrived, and then again in 2017, when I was in a car with him, and we were talking about, was there anything that OpenPhil couldn't fund? And Nick was just like, no, I think it's nothing. As I don't think there exists anything that really currently fields off the board. So kind of the framing at the time in 2016, 2017, 2018, and all the way, you know, up to 2022, was very much like, OpenPhil will decide what's the most impactful from really a very broad perspective. They'll figure out what good grants are, and then they will give them to Good Ventures. I think that relationship very drastically changed kind of around 2024, mid-2024, maybe mid-2023, where I think basically Dustin started having many, many more concerns roughly around like how the grant making that OpenPhil's doing was affecting him personally. I think the key component kind of going into a bit of history was like, in particular, Dustin was getting a lot more involved himself in the Democratic Party. And trying to, in particular, during the 2020 election, prevent a second Trump presidency. And so got very active in that space. And also just more broadly, kind of like started becoming more opinionated themselves in AI, around AI and various other issues. And then my sense is kind of around 2023, 2024, the way OpenPhil approached things was very much like, instead of we will figure out what the most effective thing is, first, we will try to negotiate with Dustin a set of domains where we are allowed to ask the question about what is effective in that space. And that's a relatively small set of buckets. And the key consideration for those domains is just like, how much will it cost Dustin reputationally? And just like, how much does he himself like want to throw his personal weight and like his personal reputation behind these domains? And if the answer to either of those questions was like, no, by default, unless there was like a very strong bid or very strong case, basically that whole domain of potential grants would not be considered for potential grant making. And then after that, after kind of the buckets were established, would they try to figure out what the most effective things are? But even within a bucket, if they found out that something would probably end up being reputationally costly for Dustin, they would still end up not making it. I would roughly describe it as like, you know, in some sense, there was a single principle that drove OpenFields grant making, which was cost effectiveness. And now there's a substantially stronger, higher principle that is, will this annoy Dustin or will this just like harm Dustin's reputation? And that is like a very strong overriding concern. And as much as the conflicting considerations come up, that's like the dominating concern. And then after that, kind of can at least be very, very strongly minimized or satisfied, will we do some cost effectiveness optimization?
I don't have any inside information about OpenFill in the time we're speaking out, which is actually better, honestly. and I haven't been following things in the community is nearly as closely as either of you, I believe. That said, it's not obvious to me that it would be easy to tell the difference between, like you were saying, you were arguing that like the Dustin personal concerns are coming before the cost effectiveness.
Yeah.
And it's not obvious to me how obvious it would be.
That's right. It's like, how would you know which one actually weighs stronger?
Especially because if you have an organization that's been founded on one principle, and then you're like refining the strategy, then the new thing might be coming on top of a lot of the cost effectiveness already. So it might be there's sort of an implicit first cut that is just cost effectiveness, and then a second cut that's Dustin, and then a third cut that's like, now that we do the real work in the domain, then we look for cost effectiveness again.
So, I mean, one of the questions is there any amount of cost effectiveness that would allow OpenFill to make a grant in a domain that Dustin considers costly for himself? And my current understanding is no. I think some of that is complicated. Like, a lot of the reason for that is not necessarily that there isn't hypothetically an argument that would convince Dustin that something is cost effective enough, so he would do it. A lot of it is definitely bandwidth concerns, in a sense of just like, you know, like Dustin only has so much ability to communicate what kind of grants he wants OpenFill to investigate. He has been on a public record, kind of on any forum comments, being like, I tried giving OpenFill more guidance about which things will be costly for me. That didn't work. I just like trusted them with that, and that failed. And now I need to like give them policies that have very broad and aggressive strokes in order to like ensure that the grant making that happens does not come too costly for me. So there's a clear bandwidth constraint of just like, he doesn't have the time to like review every grant, to like go into the details about whether a thing is worth the concern. And so he gives them very broad categories, and those, as far as I understand, are basically non-negotiable. Like there's no potential way for cost effectiveness consideration to override those constraints. Of course, there's hypotheticals of like the whole organization thinks that like these $100,000 would be more impactful than anything else they've ever done and threatened to quit. Like those kinds of options seem plausible, but I still think surprisingly hard.
Can you give some examples of domains that are no longer allowed?
So, domains that I know, I think one of the most confusing ones is any work related to AI suffering and AI consciousness. This one confuses me a lot. There's anything vaguely related to rationality community building.
Full disclosure, they were funding Lighthaven.
That's right. They were funding Lightcone, never Lighthaven.
Okay.
You
have lost a funder to this.
That's right. Anything that is kind of vaguely associated with rationality community building is solidly out. Anything to do with wild animal suffering or invertebrate suffering. Anything to do with any political advocacy that is right of center. Just anything that is like associated with the Republican Party or like libertarian enough to not be clearly associated with the Democratic Party. It's a bit like the where exactly the center is a bit unclear, but like Republican think tanks very solidly out, libertarian centerish think tanks unclear.
I have heard and cannot vouch for claims that this ruled out bipartisan groups as well.
Definitely not all bipartisan groups. Like RAND is, you know, a very centrally classical bipartisan groups. And I think RAND solid, like, can and will probably continue to receive open fill funding. But other bipartisan groups, in particular, ones that tend to be more publicly like one example, I think another group that is kind of not clearly included here is, like, Manifest and, like, Manifold. My sense is basically open fill could never give Manifold any more money, in substantial parts because they provide a platform for people on the right. Like, if you are a think tank that is kind of like RAND, and you're the thing that you do is you provide very neutral bipartisan perspectives. I think that is the kind of thing that you can probably still get funding from open fill. If you're a think tank who might, for example, organize debates between Democrats and Republicans, where you give them equal amount of treatment or try to somehow, potentially this might include giving Republicans some kind of platform, I think that would probably be very hard to get funding for. Like doing things that explicitly involve, even incidentally to a bipartisan purpose, platforming and supporting Republican like aims, I think basically rules you out. So in some sense, not. I think that kind of means many bipartisan things are out, but many nonpartisan things are in.
Okay.
I think, yeah, those are the things that I'm most familiar with, and my sense is there's a few more. There is anything to do with reproductive technology. So this, like, historically, open fill has done a bit of funding in the domain of, like, helping gay couples have children. And I think there's been an underlying thing of just, like, it might be good for someone to look into some amount of genetic enhancement of, like, either humans or, like, I don't know, the whole genetic engineering domain. Openville never really supported that kind of work, but, like, there was a sense of which, like, that was an important domain that often they sponsored research into and various things like this, and that's also not all full yet. And I think kind of the one of the central things in which they had been doing some grant-making was, like, kind of reproductive technology, where you try to make eggs out of male stem cells. Like, roughly, I would summarize it as all the things that were weird.
So, paraphrase so far is that your understanding, your belief is that OpenPhil started out for the first many years focusing basically exclusively on cost effectiveness. They had sort of a blank check from Good Ventures to focus on cost effectiveness. And then starting in 2022 or 2023 or 2024, especially, you noticed this big shift, partly because of their public communications.
But also, like, private things. I had a terrible year of, like, extreme amounts of gaslighting from just talking to tons of OpenPhil staff, and I just, like, would sit there and being like...
What was the thing that they... What?
Like, I would be at, like, things like Coordination Forum or things like other kind of EA events where various people who are active in the community would talk to each other, and I would be like, something is off. Like, you are not making grants that I believe are very impactful, like, and you probably also think are very impactful. You're being much more cagey in your public communications about which things you can fund and which things you can't fund. Like, something is just feels deeply off. And, like, there was, of course, a giant elephant in the room, which I think is actually very related to Dustin's change, which is just, like, everything changed after FTX collapsed in the funding ecosystem and a lot of power dynamics. But, like, in that period of, like, extreme funding scarcity in the EA ecosystem, OpenPhil was often in a position of extreme leverage. And they just, like, made many calls that seemed completely insane to me about how, which organizations they decided to fund or not. And it was very confusing. And I tried to bring up this topic with, like, lots of OpenPhil employees for many months, even, like, 1.5 years or something. And I just, like, got this consistent, like, very consistent denial, being like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't think anything big has changed. Like, yes, like, of course, post-FTX, more people are concerned about reputational concerns, but, like, cost effectiveness will continue to be, like, the central and only king. And, like, yes, sometimes we might consider, but, like, for example, I had, like, a very long conversation with Max Daniel about 9 months ago. This was around the time when CA had announced that they wouldn't be funding Whitehelm Abbey, also known as the EA Castle. And you know, I left a comment on EU forum being like, look, I don't know whether this thing is cost effective, but having talked to the people involved about a process, I really don't think you made your decision on the basis of cost effectiveness. And then a bunch of people were like, no, that's completely crazy. Like, we totally did some cost-effectiveness estimates and it didn't check out. And I'm like, sure, I believe you that you made some cost-effectiveness estimate, but I think we both know that, like, it didn't matter what this cost-effectiveness estimate said. Like, you wouldn't have made this grant. Look at this other public statement that, like, Alexander Berger's on the record on, where he just, like, considers this grant, like, a huge mistake, not on cost-effectiveness grants, but on just, like, secondary effects in terms of reputational effects and political effects. Grounds. And then people were like, nope, I think that's completely confused. Like, I think you're right that sometimes we will take into account a few, like, some small amount of reputational concerns. But, like, I would be very surprised if, like, if there's a top grant, like a grant in our, like, you know, top 20% or top 30% of grants, that reputational concerns would basically ever, like, cause us to flip on that. That would be very surprising. Which is, like, a quote that I got from, like, 4 or 5 OpenPhil employees.
Getting quotes from 4 or 5 employees definitely sounds like compelling evidence. And I wanted to double-click on that just because I noticed being at least slightly surprised by that. Like, that's the first thing you've said that sounded like, oh, like, it feels like it's on the edge of my plausibility window or something. Or...
I mean, I think there's at least 1 or 2 that you'll be able to find on the EU forum, and probably at least 1 or 2 that I have in Slack messages. And my guess is, you know, you can just ask to Max Daniel. Like, I think he was very surprised when OpenPhil shifted.
Okay, so you think this isn't controversial?
Yeah, I don't think. I think if you ask people from, like, a year ago, did you believe that it would be quite surprising for OpenPhil to override grants that are, like, in the top 10-20% of grants on the basis of reputational grounds, in particular reputational grounds, to someone like Dustin or, like, OpenPhil the institution, they would be like, yeah, totally. At a time, I believed that, like, would have been very unlikely.
Yeah, I guess part of why I'm slightly surprised by that is because I wouldn't have been able to say that very confidently about OpenPhil, like, 10 years ago when I was working at GiveWell, and even while it was, like, GiveWell Labs, because from the beginning, there was at least some high-level, like, strategic thinking about, like, well, part of the thing about choosing what to fund is you might get public blowback if you fund something that people don't like.
That's right. So, of course, there's a few different things here where I think it makes sense to distinguish something like internalized costs from externalized costs. So when we talk about reputational concerns, that's, of course, kind of a vague term. I think it makes sense to distinguish between is it a bad idea because it will have bad consequences on kind of all of humanity via the fact that it sparks some kind of immune reaction. For example, I think there's been, like, various conversations I've had with people over the years that just, like, a lot of work in the domain of genetic engineering is a bad idea because it will spark a broad anti and, like, bad immune reaction where just lots of people will unhelpfully freak out about various genetic engineering work as a result of people doing that kind of work in a non-careful way. And that's a very externalized, like, that's a cost that all of humanity bears. And there's a different kind of cost, which is, like, if OpenPhil as an institution were to make this kind of grant, people would get angry at us. People would get angry at Dustin. It's not, like, the world wasn't worse off for funding Whitehelm Abbey. Like, the thing that happened is that, like, a bunch of people got angry at, like, CEA, OpenPhil, and Dustin. And so that's a different kind of cost. And so I think definitely OpenPhil always had a kind of consequentialist attitude towards the former, but I think tried pretty hard to not and be careful about having a consequentialist attitude about the latter. And to be clear, my sense is, like, 10 years ago, people were very careful because Dustin had just shown up on the scene. And then my sense is people very, like, updated for reasonable reasons over many years that, like, de facto, we could mostly set those concerns aside.
Got it. That might be part of why my plausibility window is different.
Yeah.
Is because I was only involved in the very beginning, and then I left GiveWell in, like, beginning of 2017.
Yeah. When I'm thinking about my conversations with Max Daniel, like, he, you know, after the OpenPhil announcement came out, like, I just chatted with him all, and he was like, yeah, sorry, I was just wrong. Like, there's no ambiguity that the current things that are happening, like, being unable to fund any rationality stuff, being unable to fund any political work on the right, like, those are exactly the kind of things that I claimed would be unlikely. So do you think that, like, that was a huge shift?
After we recorded, Oliver wanted to add the following note.
I think this paraphrased quote went too far. The thing that actually happened here was that I texted him saying, after the OpenPhil stuff came out, I hope you updated somewhat in my direction. And Max Daniel responded with, I did. And then we had a bunch of follow-up conversation.
Did you have any easy examples of like the most obvious, least stupid things that weren't getting funded?
I mean, there's of course some that I'm biased on, where I'm like, just as out of familiarity with the methodologies that OpenPhil uses, I always knew that Less Wrong and Lightcone was in the top percentiles of OpenPhil's grants. OpenPhil has some of its methodology written about as publicly. Like they have a survey based methodology where they send out, and they've done two rounds of this. One I think in 2019 or 2020, and then a follow up one in 2022-2023, where basically they send out surveys to a large number of impactful people that they considered impactful, and then ask them what things have been influential in causing you to do good work. What things have like caused you to like change your careers in helpful ways, and then kind of tried to use that, like have some, you know, these like normal quantitative like estimates, using that as a guide to figure out which movement and community building interventions have worked. It's not perfect, of course. We should use local information when we have it, but as a rough guide, if like tons and tons of people showed up because of Harry Potter and methods of rationality and now work in important domains, it's like a pretty good argument. And they have some quantitative estimates where basically they're like, the effectiveness intervention can be measured in like the number of median survey respondent like career trajectory changes that it produces. Not because anyone ever told me. I think OpenPhil is pretty good at kind of that kind of firewall, but knowing the data myself, knowing what those kind of surveys tends to result in, I knew that Lightcone was like quite high.
And so you were feeling gaslit because you lost funding during this period before you were able to get like clear knowledge.
I wish I had lost funding. The thing that happened like post FTX is that basically OpenPhil showed up and was like, we're going to give you a very small amount of money. And then you maybe you should ask us for more money, and we're still thinking about other stuff. And then like I tried talking to them for just like almost like 1.5 years, and just had like the single most frustrating professional experience of my life. Like just like, if you list all my like professional relationships, including like crazy contractors who came into Lighthaven and fucked up all of our electrical wiring, like OpenPhil is at the very top. Just like, I cannot imagine having this in like a professional context. I reached out to OpenPhil and was like, hello, can you tell us how much you're going to fund us? And then they would be like, oh yeah, that makes sense, and we'll get back to you in 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks would pass, and it would be like, hello, can we get an answer? And it would be like, ah, sorry, been busy. Maybe another 2 weeks. And then this went on for 6.5 months. Like, just literally, like, 13 times of, like, being like, hello, can I get a response? And then, like, you know, 50% chance that you get a response. But if it's a response, it tells you that maybe we'll get back to you later. And then sometimes some very confusing, like, half answers would be like, yes. Yep, I agree that it makes sense for you to want to know how much we're funding, but we have some concerns that I can't tell you about. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, thanks. And then they're like, well, here's this random app. Like, can you tell me whether you have a code of conduct for Lighthaven? And I'm like, okay, sure. No, we don't, but we can make one if you want. And be like, hey, thanks, that's all I needed. Then you wouldn't hear anything again for 1.5 months. And I would be like, can you please talk to me? And after a while, it's just like, anything. Like, I'm just like, I tried calling them. I was like, I considered just like showing up in front of their offices in Constellation and being like, you have to talk to me. Like, I am about, like, I had loaned all my personal money to Lightcone. It's just literally all of it. I had loaned to Lightcone to keep us afloat. We were like less than 3 months, like 2 months away from going bankrupt, despite having invested all my personal funds. And I was still in a situation where they just like kept not giving me an answer about what was going on. And it was like,
and in particular,
worst.
They had promised 6 months prior that they would give you some money, but they
hadn't. No. They had given us money, but okay. they would promise
but
like
follow up stuff.
That they would be follow up and that, like that they would talk to us.
Which they hadn't promised there would be more funding, but
they did. Well, there was a messy thing. The OpenPhil also like had communicated an exit grant policy to us where they were like, and to be clear, if we ever stop funding you, it would be like we will give you an exit grant. Which then they also completely dropped. Just like completely.
That's like the most worrying thing
so
far.
It's real bad. I think they like it was a bit confusing where like they have an exit grant policy. I was like, so if you start funding us, we'll get an exit grant. And they're like, yes. De facto, there was a confusing situation where basically they funded us for 2 years at a very low amount, being like, we would like you to focus more on Less Wrong than you're focusing on Lighthaven. But right now you're focusing a huge amount on, like, you're spending a lot of money on Lighthaven, and we would like you to focus more on Less Wrong. We're giving you two years of funding at the current amount of money that you're spending on Less Wrong. And I was like, well, you know, I was planning to spend more of my staff on Less Wrong anyways, and you also want me to do that, so glad we're on the same page. I'm planning to spend twice as much on Less Wrong. And OpenFlow is like, yeah, it seems good. Like, you know, we would like you to do more of the things that we're funding you for. If you happen to run out of money earlier, just reach out. Because they were like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, as long spend the money
on the things. So you got a strong... your impression was that there was sort of like handshakey-type, non-written deal where they were giving you, like, consistent funding for, or like ongoing funding at this similar level for Less Wrong in particular, which is a sub part of your overall budget. And you were like, well, actually I want to double that. So could I get twice as much money? And they were like, don't worry about it. Like if you run out halfway through,
that's right. Just,
then,
you know,
then we'll talk again.
That's right. We'll talk again. And then, you know, like in 9 months, we were like, hello, we're about to have spent all the money. Because as I said, we were going to double how much money we're going to be spending on Less
Wrong. And this is when now?
And that is when they started, like, ignoring me for, like, and, like, stringing me along for 6.5 months. And at the end of those 6.5 months...
And can we put, like, dates on it?
Oh, God. This is, like...
It doesn't have to be super precise. I'm just...
I mean, this would be, like... Like, August 2023?
Is when it started.
Like, is when I, like, reached out again and was, like... Hello, you know, we're about to run out of money in, like, 3-ish months.
And that's when the 6.5 month period started.
That's right.
August 2023, you said?
Yeah.
Cool.
Something like that.
Thanks.
Yeah. And then, like, kind of... And then, you know, they got the decree to no longer fund us. And so, like, I think that clear... Like, by OpenFlow's exit grant policy, which they communicated to me, which is just that, like, if we have a grantee who we're exiting, we're going to make sure that you have at least 6 months to a year of funding. That clearly would have been included in that. But, like, I think OpenFlow's official stance was like, well, we did technically give you a 2-year grant. And so, like, by the time we ended our funding to you, you still had a year remaining on the grant period that we gave you funding.
I see. Yeah, I agree with you that if it's as you say, that's, like, that's messed up.
That's right. I think it's basically messed up. But I think, like, that was one of the situations. Like, I think, like, my best guess is we were just, like, we were very high on the list of things that Dustin really wanted to stop funding.
Mm.
And so, like...
What's your evidence that you were very high on his list?
Number one, Dustin, spend just, like... This is kind of a weird thing throughout all of this, is that, like, I had a number of instances where I just, like, you know, chatted a decent amount to Dustin, and, like, at one point I had a Twitter thread with him and then chatted a bunch with him on DMs. I chatted, like, after the EA Forum announcement, like, the EA Forum thread is basically me and Dustin Moskovitz chatting back and forth. Like, piece of evidence that I have is, like, I had a Twitter conversation with him, like, 1.5 year prior, where he was just, like, very clear, being like, I think, like, the decontextualizing habits of the rationality community are very harmful.
The what habits?
Decontextualizing. Oh. Where just, like, the habit of just, like, you talk about things and you try to, like, see whether statements are true before you figure out, like, what implications their truth might have for the rest of society, and just, like, really allow people to be like, look, let's figure out what things was Hitler right about? And you're like, where can you ask that question? I think you can. Like, if you have a bunch of nerdy rationalists, they will be like, sure. I mean, probably, you know, a few things. Not that many, but, like, you know, let's figure it out. Let's make the list of things Hitler was right about. And everyone will happily go along. If you go to, you know, any other part of the world, and you're like, let's make the list of things Hitler was right about, everyone will be like, I don't... That will make me look real. Like, I'm really worried about making that... What I don't want to contribute to people thinking that Hitler was right about anything. And if I make a list of things that Hitler was right about, then more people would believe that Hitler was right about things in general, and that would be really bad. So no, I don't want to participate in this part of figuring out. And, like, there's a very strong decontextualizing, decoupling nature, where people just, like, ask whether things are true and don't very, very much about what, first, at the beginning, don't worry very much about what the consequences are of more people believe the statement was true.
So when we call it decontextualizing, we especially mean the like causal downstream context.
Yeah, and kind of like, to what degree are you doing statements to where you're trying to just like centrally figure out what is true on just like pure truth grounds versus trying mm-hmm. to make sure that statements within the conversation are also being appropriate and sensitive to the relevant parties involved and what misinterpretations people might be making and various other things.
For what it's worth, like my impression is that like EA culture also has a That's relatively right. strong element of this like decontextualization.
I mean, I think one of the most relevant pieces of evidence was indeed kind of in one of the conversations I had with Dustin. He was like, there's a bunch, like, you know, they're EAs, they're rationalists, and there's a bunch of lefty EAs. And, like, the lefty EAs don't do, like, you know, they're much less decontextualizing and decoupling. And, like, he was like, yeah, that's good. Like, that's what I want.
As anecdata, I was very briefly in an ex-EA Discord, and they were mad about things like how decontextualizing EA Forum was, whereas my issue was how it wasn't decontextualizing enough.
And do both sides of this controversy agree on the terminology?
I think they do. I think like Dustin has certainly used the word decoupling or decontextualizing.
Okay, cool.
It just we use very different tone of voices.
Yeah. Another thing that I know is that I know that like Dustin had told, I think if I remember correctly, just Manifest directly, that they were like, you can't like invite Richard Hanania like as a person, like that's real bad. And then we hosted him, and that was, you know, as far as I know, he was pretty pissed about that. And so just kind of those things.
Editor's note: when asked, Austin Chen confirmed the substance of this, but Low Confidence disagreed with some of the specifics.
By we, you mean you hosted Manifest,
that's right.
which hosted Richard
that's
Hanania.
Right. And we also, you know, collaborated some with them on running, like, the summer camp and whatever.
This was before or after you lost the...
I mean, there was, like, Manifest was summer 2024. So
okay.
this was kind of, like,
so
in the middle of, like, the period where I didn't know what was going on, I think.
But summer would have been a year after August 2023.
Well, you know, summer depends on when you count it. May 30th is when... Less online was. It's about 9 months later-ish.
Right, I was just calculating it's more than the 6.5 months.
Yeah, I think probably the date was a bit later. My sense is like after the 6.5 months.
I don't actually need to
yeah.
nail down doubts, but it's just my brain just naturally is trying to make things line up, and so when I notice it doesn't, then I'm like
yeah.
saying something, but I don't know that it's
yeah.
actually a crux.
Yeah, my sense is like that was kind of, I mean, when was the EA Forum post? I guess it was more like October 2024. But, like, I had known about, like, OpenFlow had given us a decision without, like, an in-depth explanation of that decision a few months earlier. So I think probably it was before we had heard that decision from OpenFlow. But I'm not sure. Could have been. And there was also, like, you know, controversy preceded Less Online, like, 1 or 2 months. So, like, I think it lines up reasonably well. It's, like, something, like, probably just at the time or just before or just after.
Are there any other examples of obviously good opportunities you know that they're dropping?
I mean, the big one was, of course, like, any right-leaning policy work. Like, I had noticed in 2023 how just, like, everything in AI policy was so, like, leveraged on Democratic Party. And I was very confused about that. I was just like, what is going on? Why? Like, we're, you know, we all are well-calibrated about the likelihood of where the next election will go. We're well-calibrated about how things are going to be going. Like, it seems crazy for us to be this leveraged on, like, a specific political party. And, like...
Well, especially during, like, this four-year period.
That's right. Yeah, and I think that was just, like, a huge number of people I know were looking for funding. I, like, know that, like, Thomas Larson and Caleb at one point created a list of potential organizations in the space and people who are trying to work in the space and trying to get them funding, and they had huge trouble getting them funding. I think after a while, OpenPhil found a bunch of external funders that they could refer things to who are not Dustin, that they were able to allow them to fund some of those things. But those were many months later, mid-2024, it was extremely hard to get funding for any of this work.
Editor's note. When asked for comment, Thomas Larson said, quote, "My view is that the main bottleneck on doing AI safety stuff on the right is talent that deeply cares about existential risks. My experience is that there were very few organizations working on the right that were significantly struggling for funding due to not being able to get GV funding. But I agree with Ollie on the point that GV does not directly fund any right of center stuff as far as I know," end quote.
This is maybe a good time to define what it means to be funded by OpenPhil.
Historically, what it means for OpenPhil to fund something is to refer to something to Good Venture, and then Good Ventures funds it. When OpenPhil refers something to a funder that is not Good Ventures, that is not OpenPhil funding something. They cared a lot about that because they were like, well, sometimes we refer things to external funders that, like, we think would be reputationally costly for us or risky for us, and so it's very important that people understand that that is an external funder and is not us. Just around the time when Dustin started imposing more constraints, OpenPhil changed how they used the word funding things. Now OpenPhil has many times been saying that, like, they have been funding some amount and, you know, various right of center leaning policy work. Now they say they use the word "we fund thing" to mean we referred it to an external funder. I think de facto there's a huge difference pre-2024 OpenPhil referring something to Good Ventures and any other kind of deferral. I think it was very much like, I wouldn't necessarily say that OpenPhil had an endowment, but it was quite close. Like, approximately they would send a thing. Grants would almost never be rejected. There was an internal review process, but like when OpenPhil wanted to fund something, it basically got funded. When they referred something to external funders historically, you know, it's a solid 50-30% chance that it just doesn't go through because, like, they're an external partner. They're just like a person that someone on the OpenPhil staff had met at some point and who they can just defer a grant to or not. And frequently those funders were just like, yeah, you know, it's not the right time in the tax year. I'm not excited about this grant. And, like, there was no real ability for them to just, like, guarantee that any grant would happen that way. Yeah. So I think that's kind of the rough orientation to how to use the word. I think that means using the word is often a bit confusing, because I think just, like, it both meant different things at different points in time, and just, like, there's been a bunch of kind of political pressure into what exactly that word means in order to kind of get to claim credit for certain things while also not needing to be held responsible for certain other things.
I just noticed that all the orgs or companies that I have worked for, as far as I remember, you have like a severance policy and you have like performance improvement plan type policies to different extents. And there's always, like, with those things, there's always like we reserve the right to like just cut you off and kick you out. Like if you abuse someone on our staff, then like we're just gonna kick you out and not give you anything else. Well, I think that whole structure makes sense to me, and the reason I'm focusing on that is because the not getting the exit grant in the way that you and I would expect based off of your story is still the thing that to me feels most worrying or like concerning.
I do think the 2-year thing, just like my best guess, you know, it was a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet was one time sent over, and it was like, when is out grant end date for Lightcone, and it was 2 years, you know, at the time it was a year in the future, and so that was the decision.
And there was no way to like appeal.
That's right. There was generally like, I mean, the whole system, I think again, so important to emphasize in my model of OpenPhil how limited the bandwidth was. Howie during our exit, Howie told us that we wouldn't get funding, and then we had a long conversation, and he was just very straight away. He was like, all you have to understand, like, the DMs and the comment threads that you had with Dustin are more bandwidth than I ever had with Dustin in my 10 years at OpenPhil.
Mm.
Like, I was like, I worked at OpenPhil for like 4 years and I, you know, was gone, and then I came back for like 5 years and then I came back for another 3 years. So I had more like 6 or 7 years, I think, in total of OpenPhil tenure. But like in that whole time, he was just like, I think he got more bandwidth with that man than I ever have.
Right.
And in general, I think this is like really important to understand. Like, nobody at OpenPhil ever talks to Dustin.
I thought that was Carrie's job.
I don't know. I really don't understand the dynamics between Carrie and Dustin. But it is very clear that a lot of the decisions that are happening right now are downstream of Dustin. I don't know Carrie's involvement in it.
There's a huge amount of like effort or like thrash that this online conversation with Dustin created, and therefore, I mean, by default, I'm expecting he's going to try to very much avoid that.
He's going to try to avoid that. I'm not sure. I think, to be clear, I think...
I'm not sure exactly, but I'm curious, like, how does that fit into the story for you, or, like...
I mean, multiple people at Openfield, like told me, were like, thanks for having that comment thread with Dustin, mm-hmm. because I was curious what he believed, and that was helpful for me understanding.
Okay. So it wasn't like Openfield had the story that, like, that was...
No, I don't think there was causal...
Uncooperative, or...
That's right.
Okay, that was just like...
I mean, I think
like...
a few people were kind of, like, frustrated, or, like, but not, I don't think at me... Like,
you didn't hear people saying, like, you shouldn't have done that?
No.
Okay. I was just misunderstanding.
I think, like, generally my sense is, like, I think roughly ever since Dustin got involved with politics in 2020, Dustin getting into random fights with people online is just kind of a thing he does sometimes. Like, you can see him just, like, you know, getting in fights with random people on Twitter in 2020. You can see him getting in fights with random people on Blue Sky these days. Like, I think that's just a thing he does, and I don't think anyone at Openfield feels any... ownership or control or anything like that. It's just like, yep, that's a thing he does. And to be clear, having these social media platforms are an important part where people form their public relationships, and I'm overall excited about that being more peer-to-peer as opposed to filtered through, like, sub-institutions and marketing departments or whatever. But I think there wasn't a sense that people had of just, like... I think they were a bit like, well, I kind of wish you had... I think they were a bit like, you're Dustin, I kind of wish you had spent that time talking to Openfield instead of fighting with, like, Ollie on the forum. But, like, I don't know, man, you do you.
Like, my sense from the way you're talking is Openfield, and especially individual Openfield employees, have very little leverage here.
Well, to be clear, I think Openfield has huge leverage. And I'm just like, my overall take on the situation is just that Openfield, like, terribly, terribly fucked up in that relationship.
Please say more about that.
I mean, I generally think this is like a like, I think it would be very surprising if Openfield isn't providing like a 30 to 50% like impact multiplier over what Dustin would do with the money otherwise. My guess is substantially higher by Dustin's personal rights. I have generally been so frustrated about kind of the whole EA ecosystem on this dimension where I'm just like, I think the thing that Openfield of course should do is just take a cut, just get like... be rewarded for the important and valuable services that you provide to Dustin. Ideally, just, like, have a management fee. Like, I think it would be, like, the right relationship that Openfield should have had to Dustin would have just been, like, we will distribute your money. We don't know exactly, you know, there's some complicated principal agent problems you want to figure out because you don't want to necessarily reward things on a cost basis. But, like, do some kind of renegotiation such that Openfill, as a crucial service provider that provides a lot of value to Dustin, with almost all the staff vastly working below market, ends up with an amount of capital that is undeniably theirs. That is just, like, things that they can do whatever with, that there's mutual understanding between Openfill and Dustin, that, like, that is... maybe, like, literally Holden's money, or literally Alexander Berger's money, or at the very least, Openfield, the institution's personal money fund. Because I think just, like, obviously Openfield is providing value, and Openfield could threaten to explode the deal. Like, they have tons of leverage. I think Dustin would really, really hate it if he had to build a new foundation, if he had to, like... And I'm not saying that this means that therefore Openfield should ever feel comfortable holding Dustin's money hostage. Like... for example, as an example of what I think would have been terrible for anyone in Openfield to do, is to do the kind of thing that the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative did with relation to, like, Mark Zuckerberg, where at some point they had a huge internal protest where just, like, they asked Mark Zuckerberg to resign from his position as Facebook CEO because there was, like, some unhappiness. Like, there was, like, they were, like, you're not being social justice-y enough. Like, that is very much overstepping a boundary, and they were basically holding the work that they were being paid to do hostage in order to affect, like, things that were very much kind of not in their domain. But being like, hello, after having distributed, you know, $4 billion for you, it would be nice if we had a personal endowment that we both understand, like, we want to get a fair share of this cut, and we don't want that much, but I think it would make sense for us to have $100 million that we can distribute purely by our lights. Also, so that our relationship doesn't need to be so tense.
Editor's note, I found a single employee demanding Zuckerberg resign in a protest letter signed by about 70 employees, but no group of people demanding resignation.
So that,
and that second thing is the thing that you care more about, right?
I mean, I think ultimately I just want people to be paid. Like, a thing that has frustrated me more, I think is at the root of a huge, huge number of dysfunctions in the EA community. It's just that, like, people are not collecting any of the surplus they are producing in the altruistic marketplace. It is just, like, deeply frustrating to me. We're just like, if you can find a new way to do good, where, like, it costs you $500 in your personal salary, which will be, like, a quite low salary, and, like, you know, some expenses associated with the impact that you're creating, what people do is they sell that impact. They basically, like, do that kind of work, fundraising exactly $500. And I'm just like, no, don't do that. Like, if, like, you're literally just, like, 2x more effective than the next organization, or, like, even just, like, 30% more effective than the next organization, split the difference. Be like, I'm 30% better than the next best option. I'm going to charge you 15% more than the next best option for the same impact. You should be happy about this. Like, clearly, I am doing good for the world. I am a good partner in this deal of the impact marketplace. But people feel extreme guilt about this. Like, just yesterday, I had a conversation where I was, like, talking to Sarah, or 2 days ago, I was talking to Sarah from the EA forum, and then she was like, but, like, I could not possibly, like, it would be completely crazy for me to, like, threaten to quit the EA forum team unless we successfully raise, like, $1.5 to $2 million. And I was like, what? Because they're like, well, because we only cost $1 million. And I was like, that's not a good reason. Like, do you think that, like, you are worth more than 3% of, like, you know, CEA's budget, which you currently are, in terms of the impact? And OpenPhil and various other people value all of CEA's impact at $30 million a year right now. And she was like, yes, of course. And be like, then take a fair share of the cut. Like,
so the counter-argument would be the creating good outcomes is, like, is part of your payment.
Sure, but that's why you only take half of it. Like, you can be motivated to do the good, and then still nevertheless be like, and I want to make sure that I'm getting a fair share from everyone investing in this. And, like, an important thing to understand is that if somebody gives you money, you didn't waste that money. You didn't burn that money. You can now use that money to buy goods and services and do good things in the world. Like, you having money is not a morally bad thing. It is indeed a morally good thing, in as much as that money is earned in the result of, like, services and positive outcomes that you provided, and probably you can use it to do more good.
I agree with you on that. And then the reason that, to me, when I look at OpenPhil with that, I notice that, like, depending on how you account it, OpenPhil has, of course, received a lot of money that you could call as a type of management fee or something, but the main thing it clearly hasn't, assuming that your story is correct, which I assume it is developed this independent endowment above and beyond their operating expenses. Like, they've been very generously funded through their operating expenses.
Like, the burden of the foundation is primarily borne by its employees. And I agree that they're being paid some.
It's not obvious to me that their market value is higher.
I mean, like, there are so many highly competent people there that, like, would run start companies or whatever. It's a bit messy because they're all, like, many of them would pursue very high variance, like careers. But, like,
maybe what I mean is it's not obvious to me CEA employees do obviously better.
I think there are different kinds of employees. I also think, like, CEA employees, I think, you know, would have lower market values than most OpenPhil employees. But many CEA employees are also incredibly, incredibly underpaid. Like, even just, like, you know, Amy, as, like, someone who runs EA Global, you know.
This is Amy Wiley-Levens.
That's right. Like, you know, she used to be, like, a lawyer and, like, made, like, decent, like, would have been on track for a pretty decent lawyer career, where, like, her salary would have been $300,000-$400,000 a year or something in that range. And, like, I think that would have been, like, you know, at the end state of a career where she would be in. But I think instead, you know, my best guess is her salary has been $75,000 or $85,000 or something.
I thought CEA paid more than that.
No. CEA has been paying extremely low salaries for a long time.
But still more than Rethink Priorities or Charity Entrepreneurship.
I think so, I believe. I think so.
Editor's note, CEA shared a job post for a position reporting to Amy. For U.S. applicants, its salary was listed as about $116,000 to about $139,000, plus an unconditional 10% 401k contribution and other benefits. The position paid somewhat less for non-U.S. applicants. Given that that post was to a subordinate, I assume that Amy is making more money or could if she wanted to. I will link to this job post in the show notes.
Yeah, maybe do you want to go over Lightcone's payments salary strategy real quick?
Sure. I mean, Lightcone and kind of an appeal of trying to do roughly the same has had its, trying to do thing that is trying to give people a fair share of the surplus, has had its policy that, like, in as much as we can, recently we haven't really been able to do that without going bankrupt, so it's been a bit more confusing, we pay people 70% of their industry salary. Not taking into account tail outcomes, just because I can't handle that variance. Well, like, if somebody is like, well, you know, but I would have worked at OpenAI instead, and then I would have had $750 million of equity. And I'm like, I genuinely believe you, and I cannot pay you 70% of that. But, you know, checking, doing, like, reasonable things, such as, like, if you're a software engineer, checking what Google level you would reach at based on your skills, based on, like, a few interviews with people who have experience in tech hiring, using that as a standard candle, and then going to 70% of that. Where the 70% argument is something roughly like, you are getting something by working here, which is just like you are getting impact, you're getting an important form of more freedom.
And social status.
And some amount of social status. You know, you also get a different kind of social status by being a software engineer in many places. And then kind of being like, it makes sense for therefore your salary to not be the same, because indeed you get something that you want. But I don't think it makes sense for it to be like 30%, 40%, 50%, which I think is what it is in basically all the whole nonprofit sector. But instead to be around 70%, which was chosen as just like, you know, the given we can pledge 10% is kind of a potential line that you could choose. But my feeling was something like 70% seemed more realistic in terms of both what we could potentially fundraise for and just what felt fair to me and the amount of impact and autonomy that people were getting. But it was trying to be just like a very solid chunk, such that like people who would otherwise like have a quite solid career only have to give up, you know, 30% of that to work at Lightcone, as opposed to 90% of that or 80%.
Do you know, like, what are the salaries at OpenPhil like? Or
So OpenPhil has, I think, a confusing salary structure, but my understanding is that OpenPhil salaries are also pretty, like, they are confusing in the sense that they don't tend to track industry salaries at all. My sense is senior people get paid in the like 150 range these days,
okay.
And junior people tend to get paid in around 100 range, maybe a bit less, more like 90k range or something, and then kind of averages out to around 100 because you have many more junior people than senior people.
Editor's note, OpenPhil shares that their median total compensation is above 130k for junior positions and above 250k for senior positions. When I looked at their website, I saw base salaries starting as low as 84K plus a 12,500 401k contribution. OpenPhil included links to senior postings in their response, but by the time of recording, those postings were no longer up and were not available on the Wayback Machine. I will link to the OpenPhil careers page in the show notes, but since the postings aren't preserved, I can't link to individual jobs.
That doesn't seem like enough.
I think it's not enough to really have a family in San Francisco, which I think is like a reasonable threshold for sanity if you don't do any fair surplus splitting. And then it's also just blatantly obvious that most of these people, that's not anywhere close to 70% of anyone's industry salary.
Yeah, my intuition is right now we haven't laid out enough evidence to convince people who weren't sympathetic already. And I am, like, every time I ask for evidence about X, you do provide it, so I'm not sure what else I can ask. And maybe it's time for Timothy to go full feral defensive attorney mode.
I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I'll take the invitation to say that it feels like you're bringing a critique of some high-level OpenPhil strategy, especially over the last few years.
Yeah.
And in particular...
OpenPhil or Good Ventures?
Both.
I would mostly critique OpenPhil, what it's worth. And then Dustin can ultimately do what he wants with his money.
You might have more disagreement with Good Ventures, but you have more of a like bone to pick with OpenPhil.
Yes. I mean, like I feel like OpenPhil violated various promises and commitments they had made.
And so some of the most obvious ones are the like stringing you along for 6.5 months, that sounds terrible. Weirdness / lack of exit grant. One follow-up question I had on that was, like, did you discuss that with Howie during the exit interview?
Yes. He said, there's no option of any exit grants. And then I was like, is there any wiggle room on that? Like, can I get any explanation? It was like, no.
Oh, I see. They declined to even explain why they weren't.
I mean, I didn't dig that hard into the exact details. Like, the answer that I got was, well, you had, you know, a year remaining
right.
on your official grant timeline. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, I did sure talk with Eli about this. And I was like, well, I don't have that context of what exactly you talked with Eli about or whatnot.
Right.
And to be clear, there's no hope of this reversing. Like, he was just like, we could go into this if you really want to understand what happened. I believe you that, like, Eli probably said that, like, it would be reasonable for you to spend more unless wrong. But, like, I want to be very clear. This is not changing.
There may have been, like, acknowledgement of that, like, if your experience may have been, as you said, and if it was that is annoying or unprofessional in some way, and yet, nonetheless, like, there's not going to be an appeals process, and so you dropped it.
It's a bit confusing in a sense that, kind of to OpenFold's credit, even though I don't think it has turned out it has helped us approximately at all. Like, Eli Rose was managing the community grant making at OpenFold. It was like, because I do think we fucked up in how we, unfunded you, I'm promising you, like, I think the total number was 15 hours of just, like, my help, like, in getting you fundraising.
Right, so what, this wasn't an open fill gift, this was a literally Eli the person gift.
No, I think it was, like,
okay.
It was open fill
giving 15 hours of
that's
Eli
Eli's time.
Okay, so that was at least, there was an acknowledgement of them
totally,
messing
totally.
Up.
They totally, like, the exit interview with Howie, they were just like, yeah, sorry, this was a terrible experience.
Oh,
like,
okay.
We,
okay.
Like... That was not good. We made some promises to many people. We did not keep them. Like, you know, they weren't, like, the hardest promises. But,
oh,
like,
interesting.
There's no ambiguity that we violated expectations. Like,
so that's, like, better in a lot of ways.
All throughout, Harry was like, and to be clear, I think we probably deeply, largely agree on many of the underlying issues
mm-hmm.
and where exactly we fucked up and where we didn't. And I think I will find many of your opinions wildly off base. But overall, all things considered, I think we just, like, didn't treat you, like, and Lycone, like, the way we want to treat grantees, and I do think we fucked up.
And do you have a theory as to why, despite them believing that they had messed up, they didn't try harder to, like, make it right, or they were unwilling to...
What are their options?
An exit grant.
But they can't. I do just think that, like, they have no ability. That's kind of the thing that I meant.
I see. So, okay, so this is all, like, a coherent story.
Yeah.
And we obviously haven't talked to anyone from OpenFill on this podcast, and depending on where this conversation goes, I'm not even sure we need to, but that's obviously
I think
an
we should certainly offer them the opportunity.
Yeah, I would love to. Like, if I was, like, hang out with Alexander for, like, 2 hours and we were bored, and I was trying to think of, like, what from my neck of the woods, since I haven't been in his neck of the woods for a long time, like, what could I share with him? Like, I don't feel a lot from this that feels like, oh, I should really talk to Alexander about this.
You should tell him that he should quit. Like, resign in shame. Like, it is extremely hard to explain, like, how much enormous harm OpenFull caused with these actions.
Yeah, I know you just said it was hard, but could you do it real fast now?
one of the things I think, like, especially around AI safety, but also in many other domains of kind of, like, the world, one of the most common areas in which people cause harm is that they put themselves in a position where they really, really look like they have the ball on something. They're like, we are responsible for X. And then when they notice that they are slipping in their incapability of fulfilling the role that they put themselves into, because their power is contingent on the perception of having the ball in it, they start trying to maintain, like, the appearance of looking like you still have the ball, while, like, engaging in, like, a large amount of cover-up operations that, like, you don't notice all the ways in which the ball is dropping. I think Les Lycone, like, would have been much better off never accepting OpenFill money.
Oh, wow.
Like, we received a lot of money from them over the years, like $5-6 million.
Wow,
and,
that's,
like,
surprising, even after having heard.
Because, like, the key thing is just the existence of OpenFill made it so that our ability to fundraise from anywhere else was much, much more limited. Like, we tried to fundraise from various funders and individual donors, like, in 2024. And the response was always the same. They were like, isn't it OpenFilt's job to fund you? And then I was like, well, they're no longer funding us. And they were like, well, they must have a really good reason. Because they told everyone for so many years that, like, they are trying to really think hard about all this community building stuff, about all this AIX risk stuff. Like, if they don't want to fund you, they must have a real good reason. And, like, it seems like clearly their job in the ecosystem in which we're in. This whole 1.5 year period, which was the most crucial period in our whole ecosystem's history, barring the very beginning, where, of course, lots of crucial things happened, after the collapse of FTX. Like, the fact that there this period where everything was extremely tense, like, organizations had to make extremely high-stakes decisions about which people to fire and which people to not fire. The whole relationship to everything effective altruism related was changing worldwide. You know, it was used to be a small, like, kind of niche community, like, with interest, like, oriented around quant trading and kind of various quantitative things with a strong, like, pretty strong, you know, altruistic brand, to, like, everyone associates it with Sam Bankman-Fried and crypto. And, like, that was a huge shift in everyone's relationship to the world. And during that period, where just, like, so many crucial decisions had to be made, and additionally, in the same period, AI risk, like, entered the global scene, ChatGPT came out, everyone was trying to figure out how to, like, handle the fact that, like, now AI risk is just, like, very solidly within the Overton window of a large fraction of places where it wasn't. During that period, the complete funding system was completely fucked. Because, like, the experience that people had was they would try to get money from OpenFill, and they would end up in these crazy situations that I was in, where I was just like, hello, will you fund me? Will you not? They would be, like, strung along for months at a time. Donors would be told that, like, OpenFill, like, and, like, as another example of just, like, an extremely crucial domain was, like, you know, Republican and right-leaning policy work. That stuff was, like, ever since 2022 and 2023, like, one of the most important pieces of work to happen anywhere in the world. And OpenFill was not allowed and was indeed very actively suppressing any information that hinted at OpenFill not funding that kind of work. I had ear forum threads from like 6 months ago or 4 months ago where I was just like, hello, I think OpenFill at the current moment is not funding any right-leaning policy work. With then like Zach, like who's head of CEA, ex-OpenFill chief of staff, very familiar with the relevant people, just response with, this is false. No follow-up, nothing. Just response with, this is false. Gets tons of upvotes. Lots of people are like, thank you. I was really worried about that. I'm glad that you can clarify that apparently this is just a baseless rumor. Then, you know, of course, blah, 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 if you ask Zach, I bet you will be like, well, sorry, I meant a definition of funding by which OpenFill was sometimes referring, like, grants to external funders, and as such, saying that OpenFill wasn't funding right-of-center stuff was inaccurate. Which, of course, I did not deign, or at this point still haven't deigned, to clarify to anyone. I know of over a dozen people who just were like, oh, seems like the Zach comment settles it. Like, clearly, he wouldn't just go on a record and lie about that. And so just, like, that was going on a lot. Like, lots of people I know were, like, at, like coordination forum, at this, like, Summit for Existential Security, were just, like, trying to orient what was going on, trying to fundraise for projects, and running into mysterious barriers during the single most crucial period in all of our ecosystem's history. That cost much more damage than OpenFill has ever given away. Because the important thing to understand is that money was never the bottleneck for any of this. Even the moment Litecoin, like, the moment OpenFill finally went on the record and was like, we have no good reason to not fund Litecoin, we could fundraise. We had no problem. We did a big fundraiser. We're not in, like, the most cushy financial position or whatever, but, like, on the back of a public fundraiser, after OpenFill went on the record, being like, look, we no longer have the ball. It's your job. We could fundraise $2.2 million. I know the same is true for every other organization out there trying to do, like, work in, like, right-leaning politics work, trying to do work on genetic engineering, trying to do work on various forms of public outreach and public communication about AI risk. They are capable of fundraising from other people, but OpenFill was actively completely blocking the flow of funding for, like, weird power politics reasons for a solid year and a half. And it was so bad. Like, the consequences, I think basically, like, when I'm thinking of a single period in human history where I'm just like, that is when we lost. Like, that was, like, that is when, like, we accidentally let AI safety get fully politicized. Like, it is now a left-leaning issue. We, like, ended up in a situation where just like there was an executive order on AI that was very solidly associated with one political party because there was no one there to be the other side of the bipartisan agreement. The period where just like there was no FTX reflection and nobody could say anything about what happened there, allowing anyone associated with AI safety to reestablish our long-term trust. Like the period where like we could have been right there, public, in all the places where people were trying to orient to just like AGI. Now, you know, it's a contentious term, but like real systems that you can talk to that feel like other humans, being here on your smartphone, on your computer, explaining to them what this means for humanity. All of that opportunity slipped away because all of us were busy trying to desperately survive because OpenPhil fucked up and gaslit everyone about how available they were and like what they were going to fund. I would be surprised if it doesn't make the top 10 list, that in worlds where just like we lose, we will look at this period and be like, yep, that was it. That's where we fucked up.
Would it be accurate to say that, you know, if you could go back a year and a half and force OpenPhil to do something, but not everything, that if they had just publicly said, we're not funding these areas anymore?
I mean, to be clear, they still haven't done it. Like they're, when you look at the announcement that they have written, even now, the announcement is like, these are some domains that we are withdrawing funding from. Every person I've talked to interpreted this the same way. They were like, oh, sure, seems like OpenPhil is no longer interested in funding rationality community building, but they are funding AGI safety. Like, that's, you know, clearly. So in as much as you have an organization that is helping with AGI safety, you should be able to get OpenPhil funding. That is like every person I've talked to walked away with that interpretation.
So a very clear miscommunication.
It's, I mean, sure, one could call it a miscommunication. I would call it a lie. The thing that happened is, of course, that no matter how much your work helps with AGI safety, if you do rationality community building, you cannot get funding. Like, it is not the case that funding was withdrawn.
Which they made clear with respect to Lighthaven when they said...
I mean, they privately have made it clear to, like, me.
And in a way that you're allowed to pass on to donors.
I mean, like, yes, but, like, they will be like, that sounds like your interpretation or whatever.
I was trying to refer to the thing where it sounded like at some point they were clear enough that it made it easier to fundraise.
That's right. So it is the case that, like... And I think that was useful, which is like Eli Rose left a comment on our fundraiser, being like, I would like to fund this. I can't.
Nice.
So I do think that like kind of implicitly it's been drawn out of them because it's just a very hard thing to deny. But I think they tried really quite hard to deny it at various places.
Oh, I see. So part of your story is that like Good Ventures didn't just want to not fund you themselves, they were wanting you to be unfunded.
At least didn't want to publicly not fund either, and the net effect was that LightCode went unfunded.
Don't think there was anyone who really cared, who was like very attached to communicating to people that there's like, I would describe it as a difference between a whitelist and a blacklist.
It seems like Eli and would have been one of the people in the position to be tracking that, right?
That's right. But when I talked to them, can you please write that publicly? They were like, no. Well, we can't do that. Sorry.
Either through lack of care or through other reasons that we're not tracking.
That's right. My sense is just like, I mean, the underlying dynamic is just like, I think it would be more controversial and more costly for Dustin reputationally if OpenPhil was being clear about this. And indeed, like, having the EA community and the rationality community be angry at him was just like a major source of frustration. Like, I think another important dynamic to model thread all of this, which I think Dustin was pretty open and transparent about in his forum thread, was I think he was just very pissed and frustrated at being criticized by the EA community and having people be angry there at him. Probably because he just felt like, look, man, like, funding, I'm giving you all of these resources. Like, that is how you repay me, by just like...
For the normal human reasons that people might be upset if they gave $10 billion to a community and then like...
That's right, still getting attacked.
And felt somehow...
That's right.
Like, so it think, wasn't like, a great experience
like,
for them.
I think it's just like, my best guess is that blog post was just like extensively workshopped, and there was no way of editing it, and it was written with extreme amounts of plausible deniability and very careful optimization in order to prevent, like, in, not necessarily from Dustin's perspective, but by other people trying to make do as much as they can without getting Dustin's direct input to not, like, force him to defend himself, to not force him to explain his actions or potentially create grievances that other people might have. I mean, for example, talking about the right of, like, I've been kind of using the right of center stuff as one of the examples, but, like, the right of center stuff has no mention in a post where OpenPhil says, like, we are defunding these areas. And because I think it would have been too controversial, it would have made too many people angry, would have caused tons of people to freak out. And so, actually, the part where, like, I think in, like, a thread with, like, me and two other EU forum commenters, like, slowly over the course of, like, 8 grueling comments, we, like, got, like, the weakest-ass confirmation from Luke that actually, yes, Good Ventures is not funding anything right of center. I mean, it was like, oh, like, I mean, the thread started out with Luke being, like, many people repeatedly seem to claim that, like, OpenPhil doesn't want to fund any right-of-center stuff. Those people are wrong. We totally want to do that. And so people was like, to be clear, can you be clearer about are you talking about OpenPhil or Good Ventures? Because to be clear, historically, you've meant funding things, but it's directing Good Ventures funding. And then Luke was like, I mean, when we direct money to funders. Be like, can you be clearer? Do you mean Good Venture funders or non-Good Venture funders? And be like, in this specific case, I am talking about non-Good Venture funders. And be like, oh no, I'm talking about, like, here are 3 examples of funders that I, like, will say that we have referred funding to. And someone was like, can I take the absence of Good Ventures on this list of funders as confirmation that Good Ventures is not funding that stuff? And then he was like, you know, didn't respond for 1.5 to 2 days, and was like, yes, it is the case that Good Ventures has expressed substantial hesitation about funding things that are right of center. And you're just like, what is going on? Like, why are you clinging so desperately to not being open about this? And I know why, because I think just, like, they're very worried about annoying Dustin with all of this. But it was such a grueling conversation. And that was, like, I mean, not that long ago. It was 3 months ago.
Yeah, it does feel like the one of the major cruxes of your story is how the relationship with Good Ventures strayed from the idyllic vision that it started out with and wanted, and the response to that divergence missed the mark, because it was actually, like, by your story, it was like the worst of both worlds, because they were trying to pretend in some sense, or they weren't sufficiently internally clear or aligned on what they were actually doing, and so there was confusion internally. No, I'm not claiming necessarily, like, Alexander had confusion, but, like, it literally sounds like, by your story, I'm imagining at least most of OpenPhil staff was, like, confused. Like, I don't think they were intending to lie to you, even if they were lying to you, is my guess, or, like, misleading. I mean, I think
this is one of those where I just don't think
it's not worth even
matter very much.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'm like, I'm confident that many of them were going through the explicit situation where they were like, Ollie is asking question X. Giving the straightforward answer to question X seems like, especially in as much as Ollie has a habit of going on the internet with all of his opinions, of being very bad for me. I should do something else. And I think that something else often involved, like, a substantial amount of metacognitive thinking about what is a fair thing to do, what is a good thing to do, or whatever. But I think there was a very clear sense that they were like, there's a true piece of information that I do not want Ollie to know at this point in time.
Well, and a huge part of the miscommunication or confusion, whatever you want to call it, was, like, OpenPhil people, staff members being wrong about what the true situation was, right?
That's right, and therefore, like, over-leveraging and overextending themselves and what kind of promises they can make and to what degree they are the appropriate counterparty to the promises that OpenPhil is making and various things like this.
Imagining, like, a Alexander that, like, comes in on a different podcast or something, I'm sort of, like, curious in the, like, bilateral talks, like, if he, like, the first thing I imagine wanting if I was in your shoes is, like, a clear public apology acknowledging all the things that are true.
One of the things that I think this podcast can help with, where this is, like, creating common knowledge that I think OpenPhil is kind, is, like, dead in the sense of the historical role it has played within the AI safety and the AI ecosystem. And I think among the core, that is common knowledge. Like, it used to be the case that, like, a year or two or 3 years ago, and you would show up at Constellation Lens, you would show up at Coordination Forum, you would show up at BA Global, and people would talk about OpenPhil. They would talk about OpenPhil as being basically the, like, financial department and administrator of the whole ecosystem and community. And they would generally understand, like, the default thing that you would do, like, if you were a high-profile EA organization, is you would get OpenPhil funding and you would let OpenPhil be on your board. And, like, nobody would do that. Now, like, letting OpenPhil on your board, I think people would just, like, be like, that sounds very scary. Because that is letting Dustin on your board. That is, like, letting a thing on your board that is very much not someone that we have a high trust relationship with. And the OpenPhil is not the government of the community in the way that people considered it 1 to 2 years ago. And I think that is now common knowledge among the core of the community. But I hope that it will also soon become common knowledge among the extended online ecosystem. Because there, it is very much not so. Like, I just frequently run into people who have a model of EA that I think is solidly, like, now 2 to 3 years out of date. And I think that realignment is very good. During this period, like, a huge fraction of OpenPhil senior staff quit. You know, like Howie left now. He no longer works at OpenPhil. He burned out. Claire Zabel used to run the OpenPhil community building section. So he's still at OpenPhil, but now taking much, like, very different responsibilities and in a much narrower fashion, quit that job. Holden himself quit a few years ago. And so, like...
Although that was probably in the works from before the...
I think that was not downstream of this thing. But, like, more broadly, just, like, almost all senior staff at OpenPhil has, like, turned over. And that's
Could
been...
you... be more specific than almost all.
I mean, Alexander is still there. And then it's a bit unclear what exactly do we mean by senior. Ajaya is currently on sabbatical, I think approximately has quit. So that means at least in the long-termist side, where I have the most context, like head of long-termist grant making, which is Howie, quit. Head of community building, quit. Head of AI safety grant making, quit. And those are all the three. Like, those were... That was the tree downstream of Holden and Alexander.
Okay, thank you.
Editor's note, I've been informed that Ajaya is back from leave, but Claire is now on leave.
So I think, like, we are seeing kind of a common knowledge forming of, like, OpenPhil's position in the ecosystem is just, like, very, very different. I think kind of on the inside and among kind of the core of the community, that's roughly common knowledge now. I hope that we can make it common knowledge kind of, like, in a broader world. And I don't know. Like, I think in many ways, like that is the end of the EA community. Like, I don't think at the moment an EA community exists. They exist people who rally around some of the ideas of effective altruism, and a large number of people who are kind of lagging 2 to 3 years behind. But CEA does not have a mandate to lead an EA community at this point in time. Especially also because almost everyone in the EA leadership quit the EA leadership roles. Will McGaskill is no longer being active as an EA leader. Toby Ord is no longer being active.
Oh, really? I didn't know Will McGaskill was no longer active.
Yeah. He's written about it. He's focusing on AI things and focusing on, like, his research institute.
Oh, wow. Are there any community leaders left that are, like, owning a leadership role in EA?
No.
What about Zach at CEA?
Well, so Zach at CEA is asking to potentially be a community leader. And maybe he can. Like, I think he's in the process of trying to gather some amount of legitimacy. But there's a bit of a legacy problem of just, like, nobody is around to hand him the mantle. Like, Holden himself also has fully stepped back from any EA leadership role. There might come into existence a new thing, but, like, you know, these days when you go to Constellation, when you go to almost any of the events, people wouldn't think that there was a community here with leadership and a public reputation. People would think that this is a loosely connected set of people with no particular name, no particularly strong set of community norms. And almost certainly no set of like identifiable leaders.
That seems like a little strong.
I think there exists an EI safety community that has some of these properties, but no EA community.
Editor's note. When asked for comment, Zach Robinson of CEA disagreed and noted that, quote, the recent Bay Area EAG has about 1,000 attendees, making it the largest U.S. conference of the past few years.
I think one of the key things that I would just feel very amiss if I didn't mention it at all in all of these dynamics is to just understand that at the same time of all of this happening, also, of course, the leadership of OpenPhil changed. The current understanding I have is roughly Holden stepped back from his CEO position, becoming largely an absent CEO, and then eventually appointing Alexander as co-CEO, but still, you know, because he was the founder. It wasn't really, you know, actually an Alexander-run organization around 2021, kind of before even the whole FTX thing happened. Basically, I think he was an active CEO, wasn't active in the organization. Then when the FTX explosion happened, Holden came back for a few months, dealt with that crisis, and then fully stepped back. So when we're trying to think about what kind of institution it was, I think founder changes have extremely, extremely large effects on organizations, and just Holden leaving his role had huge, huge effects. And I have drastically different opinions, still many, many critiques, but drastically different opinions about OpenPhil led by Holden. And I think when also in trying to understand the relationship between OpenPhil and Dustin, the loss of Holden as the central connecting element, my current guess is Dustin ultimately trusted Holden with his money. And so the step of going from Holden leaving and now Holden asking Dustin to trust the institution he left in his wake and trust in Alexander was a huge, huge shift in the relevant trust relationships. And so I think that it would just be any analysis of the situation would be greatly amiss if that wasn't being brought to attention.
I'm just noticing one last, maybe there's some last prompt in, coming up for me. Something to do with the slightly awkward format of like having you come deliver critique and us not having anyone from OpenPhil here.
I'm a bit, you know, I'm a bit disappointed in you in the sense that I kind of want to do the counterposition where I'm just like,
well, you probably
here's
make
why,
a better...
here's why everything I just said obviously was terribly strawman-y, and he is like, look, why? Like, what was OpenPhil supposed to do instead? Like, you're creating these false alternatives.
Can we do 5 minutes of that?
Can we do a separate recording of that?
Because we're tired.
Yeah, I'm running out of steam.
That makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Although, well, let it be known to the future listeners, that it is Elizabeth's fault.
One last editor's note. We reached out to OpenPhil for comment, and they gave us the following response. I'm going to read it in its entirety and also link to it in the show notes. Last year, Good Ventures decided to exit funding for a few sub-causes. As we wrote in June 2024, Open Philanthropy apologizes to all grantees who were negatively impacted by this change and for our part in not better anticipating this shift in our relationship with Good Ventures. We had a uniquely long delay in making and communicating decisions to Litecone relative to other grantees, and we're especially sorry for the hardship that caused. We agree that, in this case, we fell far short of our aspiration to be excellent funding partners. There are a couple of points we want to clarify from the conversation. One, while we remain closely aligned with Good Ventures, OpenPhil increasingly works with multiple donors across a range of causes. And while Good Ventures decided that they don't want to fund certain kinds of right-of-center work on AI policy for now, they remain open to right-of-center grants on most issues where we work. And as we have previously shared, we've generally seen much more funder interest in right-of-center work on AI policy and other high-impact causes than we have strong opportunities in these spaces. As a result, we think that this is a promising area for people to consider working in, and we don't perceive Good Ventures' decisions as a particularly binding constraint. We don't agree with the idea that Good Ventures' decisions are motivated mainly by personal or institutional reputational concerns, and that doesn't reflect our experience working with Carrie and Dustin. Good Ventures remains extraordinarily flexible and open to our advice about how to give in a way that both maximizes impact and aligns with their values. We're not aware of any donors of their scale who are as responsive to staff advice and research on priorities. We know not everyone will agree with their choices, but we both try to base them on our best assessment of how to deliver our mission. There are other issues raised in this conversation where our perspective differs considerably from Oliver's, but we see diminishing returns to addressing each one point by point. While we don't plan to respond further to the podcast, we appreciate thoughtful critiques of our work and hope to continue learning from them. That's the end of the episode. Timothy and I would like to thank Openville and everyone else who responded to our request for comments for their effort. We'd also like to thank EA Infrastructure Fund, our Mana Fund donors, and my Patreon patrons for financial support on this podcast.